Our gospel lesson today is from Mark, the fourth chapter. Begin reading with the 26th verse through the 34th verse. Hear now this word. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed upon the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He knows not how. The earth produces of itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. And yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nest in its shade. With many such parables he spoke the word to them, and they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus spoke in parables. Concise, small, stories that we could listen and hear and get the message. Jesus was a teacher. He taught people, and he taught in parables. As it says, he did not do anything without speak to them without a parable. So of the number of parables in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, some scholars have said there are 46 of them. Jesus seeks to teach us. But he also teaches with the Spirit of God upon his life and upon the life of the parables. He speaks in parables that he may infuse our lives with the parables to be a part of God's Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Now, these parables are not hard to understand as we look at them, read them, seek to understand them, but they can speak in many different ways. But he thought, Jesus, I believe, thought that we should have the Spirit within the teaching, because he taught as God's Son. The church has always had a hard time understanding, and I'm not sure I understand it at all, but I keep working with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three in one. The early church had a difficult time with it, and finally they came together with the Council of Nicaea in 325 A.D., and they said that God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three in one. And they used the term in Latin, and of one substance. Of one substance. So God seeks to speak to us in all those ways. And Jesus sought to teach in parables that he might not only teach, but infuse us. That's a good term we use now. Infuse us with the power of his Holy Spirit to give us direction and guidance. In Genesis 2:7 it says, "And God breathed into the nostrils of man, and he became a living being." Breathe. The scriptures tell us that Jesus met with the disciples in a room where the doors were shut, and he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is always seeking to be a part of the teachings of Christ in his parable, of the essence of God in the Holy Spirit to give us direction in our lives. I was a senior in high school. I've been before the board in Burlington, North Carolina, to get a license to preach. And you did that at an early age then. Marvin Vick was our pastor in Mebane, and he had gotten his license when he was 12 years old in Texas. What that gave you the privilege of doing, if you were invited by the pastor in charge, was to come and preach. And that happened when I was a senior in high school. Scared to death, worried to death. Anyway, I stood up on that Sunday night, and there out in the congregation were many of my friends. I mean, they knew me and knew of me. And they were there sitting in the congregation. Tom Lankford was the Duke student at that time, working on his PhD, and later he became Dean of Duke Divinity School. And he had worked with me on doing a sermon, and it talked about parables. The parable of great price. What does it mean that we would be people who would follow God? How do the parables present it? Simple stories, like planting a seed in the ground, as small as a mustard seed, and letting it grow. Well, I got through that service that night, and I was grateful for somebody else being there to help prop me up. But it was a great experience. And that was my beginning in being a part of a community of faith that encouraged people to do what they feel like God had called them to do. But how do we take the Spirit of Christ and put it into the parables? The Spirit of Christ is there and a part of them, all because they seek to teach us. But we can't hold up teaching as the only thing, because we follow just the letter of the law like the Pharisees, then we fall in. But if we put in the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Christ that seeks to touch every heart and life and do those things that need to be done in the time in which we live and the time in which we act. That's when the Spirit comes in to give leadership and guidance in all of our lives. Jesus wants that, I believe. He gave us a teaching, but he also said, he breathed on the disciples that they might be alive in the Spirit. Gracious Father, may the Spirit of Christ touch each of our hearts and lives in ways that we don't expect it and don't believe it at times, but to follow the direction and leadership of God's Holy Spirit as we seek to minister. And each of us is called to minister in the name of Christ and doing what God would have us to do. I've struggled with this sermon, talking about teaching and talking about the Spirit and getting it together. And it's been a real process that I've gone through. And the process is still going on because God is still seeking to work in the lives of all of us. And how grateful I am for that. Even when you get to be older than you have been. And that happens every year. Well, I was in a room filled with former pastors and preachers, male and female, deacons with that retirement luncheon, that annual conference. And as you looked over the room, you thought about the years of teaching and preaching and baptizing and welcoming and counseling and just loving people when they were grieving and helping people when they'd gone through such terrible tragedies. And just all of that was in that room, and it was all just there. And it was all there through the presence of God's Holy Spirit. And then we had about 30 some to come across the front that were retiring this year. I looked at the former associate that I had in one church and couldn't believe he's old enough to retire. I thought he was a young man. But God still seeks to touch each of our lives, to guide us where we are. Thanks be to God. And thanks be to God for the privilege of standing here in this pulpit where many people have stood and many have sat in the pews and have heard the word and have said, I'm going to let God lead my life. He's going to direct me. I'm going to call in prayer. I'm going to talk to one of my fellow Christians and ask them, does this sound real foolish? Or is God truly trying to speak to me, to use me?